Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
All right, guys. Okay. Welcome to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Thank you very much.
Lovers of film, TV, and theatre in here. Okay, usually there's five of us, okay, but you just got me.
I heard.
Yeah. They are all bums. We don't like them right now, okay?
Got you.
Yeah. And you can talk badly about them any way you want.
Word. Right? Got you.
That's absolutely fine, okay? If you want to know their names, it's Gaz, Bisola, Manny, and Jason, okay? So, anytime in the interview...
Gaz, Bisola, Manny, and Jason?
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
Us.
Yeah. Who's here? And
oh no, I got you. I know. You're right next to me.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. Alright guys, we are joined today by Emmy Award winning powerhouse. Alright. Also, just saying that, by the way, is incredible. Alright. You may know her from Orange Is the New Black, Handmaid's Tale, and actually right now, a theatre production in London, which is insane. Like, we're definitely gonna get into that at some point. But we are lovers of theatre in here as well. My first theatre show was Lion King when I was 14.
You was in it or you saw it?
Nope, I went there as a school trip.
You was the giraffe.
I was just there.
I was the giraffe.
I was a tree.
It was a tree.
Yeah, but like an exotic African tree.
You know? Of course. It's in Africa. It'd be weird if you was from somewhere else.
Exactly.
Everything else was from
Africa.
And
I'm from Africa as well, so it might have been a racial casting. I don't know. But you know, we're here and we're excited to have you, honestly. Really, 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 really excited to have you.
Glad to be here.
Now, let's get started, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I read some stuff about you and I was really interested in actually getting into it, okay? But you studied at Juilliard.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
That's true. True lies.
That must have been an incredible, challenging. What kind of experience was it for you?
It was abusive.
Damn. Oh my God, damn.
I mean, Juilliard is an intense program. They push you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about Juilliard, you know. Maybe the actor I am, maybe the actor I'm not, you know.
Would you recommend it for young people now? Or do you think that it's tailored for like a certain type of actor?
You got to have a strong sense of self. You got to know how to retain who you are. It's not for everybody, definitely not. Thousands of people auditioned for that thing. It's only 18 people in my class.
They only
accept 18 people. So,
oh my God,
you know,
it's well done.
Thanks. It was a fluke. it's a lot. It's just a lot. It's class 14 to 16 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's intense.
It's like some military stuff.
Yeah, it really was. That's kind of how it felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Wow. And then like, I guess up until that point, okay, what led you there? Like, when did you know that acting was your thing?
I knew I liked it when I was like 10 years old.
Oh, that's okay.
I knew that I liked it a lot, but I didn't know I was good. So I just thought I was really like into it, and I was like a theater kid, and I was probably gonna grow up to be like a usher in like a regional theater, you know.
Which is a job that I've done actually for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was dope because you get to see all the shows for free.
True. There's a lot more cleaning involved than I thought.
Oh, real?
Yeah. Like, I was, like, my...
They don't got a separate cleaning crew?
Nah, 90% of my job was, like, waiting for people to finish and then go and clean aisles.
Oh, but it's like, live theater. Like, what they got in there?
Yeah,
honestly. It's not like a movie theater. They don't got popcorn or nothing, right?
It was a cheap theater, yeah. It was the Bush Theater in Taze.
Oh, the Bush!
Yeah. So, but no, great times.
My director ran the Bush for a long time.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Yeah.
But like, I had a 2 week experience there until I got a different job. And then I sent them a text and said, hey guys.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
It was that much cleaning. You was like, nah.
Well, no, do you know what it was? I was applying for like 1,000 jobs anyways. And then another one like came through and it was way more money. And I was like, all right, cool. And I texted the guy and I actually never heard back from him. So I just didn't go back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out the Bush.
My mum was really not happy with me. Yeah. But I tried my best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so that's incredible. So, and then like on your way to Juilliard and then obviously, you know, after that, right? Mm-hmm. What were kind of like your next steps? Like, was it get an agent or, you know, or was it kind of like go back into theatre? Like, what was kind of like the route there?
Yeah, I had a weird, I mean, like, I had, I had my agent would come see plays at Juilliard, so I actually had an agent before I left school.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I had a lucky career. Like I had my first job like 4 months after I graduated.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I've just kind of been working since then.
And that was?
It was this movie called The Sitter with Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Method Man played my boyfriend. It was really crazy for
Kids,
first job.
Pull it up for me.
It was okay. Really wild for a first job. It really was.
Yeah. And was it like a? I'm assuming that was like a young Jonah Hill, like a.
Yeah, it was this movie. We shot it in like 2011.
Yep.
2011.
Yeah. 2011. All right, there we go with the facts.
Kids is on board. That's incredible. And then fast forwarding.
Uh huh.
Okay. Obviously, when we first heard about this interview from your wonderful team, okay, we were all ridiculously excited to have you here for various reasons, okay? And one of them was obviously your appearance in kind of like the streaming pioneering Orange is the New Black, okay? Mm. And a lot of the people, especially in this building, when they heard that you were coming, they were like, oh my God, you got to ask about da 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 da. And I was like, nope. All right. but how does it feel to be kind of like part of like such a pioneering series for a streaming service?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting because, like, I mean, I had no, it was, like, one of my very first, like, jobs and like, a big job on that way.
Yeah.
Definitely first job on, like, one of my first on TV. But, like, I didn't know what it was at all because, like, at the time, like, I got Netflix DVDs in my mail.
Yeah.
You know, we all did. So, I just remember a lot of people asking me, like, oh, like, is it a web series? And like, I remember not knowing. I was like, I don't think so. I'm not totally sure. But, you know, when you're so new like that, when you're young like that and you don't have any other type of experience, you don't really have anything to compare it with.
So true.
So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, honestly, I always explain it as, like, sort of being thrust into, like, the public consciousness in a way where I think the show came out on like a Thursday, and after that weekend, like I couldn't go anywhere without people, you know. I mean, sitting down, binge watching something was not anything.
It was not a thing.
So everybody was.
It was
doing
like weekly series, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And you got those people, like sitting on the couch eating popcorn in their underwear, you know what I mean? So it's like an intimate setting because like I'm on their TV hour after hour after hour.
Yeah.
So like people see me on the street and they're like, do you work at my Starbucks? Did we go to high school together? Like, did I see you performing on the street last night? And I was like, no.
The thing is, I've actually been recognized once for this podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was a big achievement for me. She came out to me. I thought she was joking, you know. Okay, but she was like, "Hey, I love your podcast. Like, I actually see you." I was like, "Who told you that?" You know what I mean? Like, I was very confused.
She was joking.
I have no idea. Like, I know that we get a good amount of audience, and but I just it doesn't seem real because I'm not with them right now. Right. So when I speak to people that actually do watch it, I get completely bamboozled.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you're on a different stratosphere of that. So like, for that time period, okay, how did it feel just kind of like just walking to like the local, I was going to say Tesco, but you're not from here. But like Costco.
That was a long walk.
Walmart.
Because like it must be like just like overwhelming at that point.
I must say I didn't really take to it too gracefully.
Really?
No, definitely not. I know there's some people who like really like being famous, but like at the time, like even now, I don't really like it. But at a certain point, I had to just be like, okay, this is the life. So I got to just, like, say yes to it. In the beginning, I, like, stayed in my apartment for, like, a week because I just, like, couldn't take it. My mom came in. We went to, like, IKEA. She bought me a wig. It looked like, I swear, it looked like a Mary J. Blige wig. But it's, like, with this swag, with, like, the Mary J. Blige wig. It didn't go. I just wanted to hide. I really just wanted to hide from it. It just didn't really go with, like, I don't know. I wasn't prepared. Wasn't prepared.
And so from that, okay, obviously you do a bunch of jobs, okay, but something that really touched me was The Handmaid's Tale, okay? Mm. Now, with that, it was a book that I read in school. We had to do it for our curriculum, okay? I'm not sure if it's the same for you guys.
No, I did a Mice and Men.
You did Of Mice and Men?
Mice and Men?
Yeah.
I think I did both.
I think I did both as well.
And Mice and Men and Handmaid's Tale.
You definitely got like a C English, man.
I mean, I read Mice and Men. I didn't read The Handmaid's Tale. It was on the curriculum, but I didn't read it.
Oh, damn.
I didn't even realize later somebody in my class was like, we read that. And I was like,
yeah.
No. But honestly, maybe I wasn't supposed to.
That's facts. That's facts. Because like when I heard that they were doing a series for it, okay, I was like, how are they gonna depict this? Because even just reading it, yeah, I had like a very like 70-year-old white, you know, older teacher who was kind of like,
you said 70?
She was like 60-something for sure.
Oh, okay.
Or she just looked that way. She looks like the with all due respect, I love you, Mrs. Mrs. Status. I actually do love you.
She's still around?
I don't know.
R.I.P.
All right. No, just joking. Don't check that. But she would like read it in this really kind of dramatic way, you know, like super. So like for us,
oh, she read it to you.
Yeah. Well, she would read like the first couple lines, and then she'd like pass it over to like you know a bunch of the class and stuff, you know. And but it was like it seemed like a like way too real to put on to screen. But I guess that's what being on screen is now. But yeah. How did it feel, kind of like getting the call up for that? And compared to Orange Is the New Black here, did you know what you were getting into?
No, I had no idea. I never have any idea what I'm getting into. I'm sitting here with you. I don't know what I'm getting into. No, I really didn't have any idea. I mean, like, to have a show like that. And also, it's so graphic.
Yeah.
And it's not just graphic in the book, but they don't take anything out of it when they put it on the screen, you know? So, there's really no, but there's a, like a bit of a like dissociation with it when you're filming it, mm-hmm. because like it's fake blood and it's, and then like when I see it, like mm-hmm. actually we were doing some sort of panel recently and like they were playing scenes from it and I was like, oh my God, this is
yeah.
Have you guys seen this?
Yeah,
intense.
We've been locked in.
It's crazy.
We've been locked in because like that series, like there was like certain moments for me, okay, where it was like you can tell the fact that actors across the board were just running through like the symbolism of what it was, you know. And that for me, okay, I think as an actor is super difficult because a lot of what you're actually doing, okay, there's like a symbol behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like the wider message of Handmaid's Tale, did that attach to you in any way, or was it just acting, getting and out?
I mean, like I think I had to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, there was I didn't know how to detach from it in that way. In terms of just like, because also Margaret Atwood, who wrote the book, she told us that there's nothing that she put in the book that didn't happen to some woman at some time in history.
Yeah.
So that is like a really intense fact right there.
Yeah.
But after a while, you know, in order to like protect yourself doing this day in, day out, I mean, I was on there for like 9 years.
My God.
You can't take that home with you every day.
Yeah.
You can't take that home with you year after year. But yeah, in the beginning, nah, I was in it.
Yeah.
In it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then kind of like, obviously, the fruit for that, okay, was, you know, the massive Emmy win. Which, by the way, okay, like, I've watched a lot of Emmy speeches, okay? You were very stoic, you know? Like, I thought you were going to get up, okay, and be like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Like, let's go! But you were like, hey, guys, you know? Like,
are you kidding me? You know what was in my category? It was like Viola Davis, Cicely Tyson, Diana Rigg. I was
scream.
Like, bruh, I'm definitely number four in terms of like...
No, you killed
you
it.
You know?
You
I was it. So... I was like actually truly stunned.
Yeah, and did you like even like prep the speech or anything?
No,
or
was it just... Diana Rigg was supposed to win.
So you
was ready to stand up and clap.
Nah, you were supposed to and won, okay? Uh-huh. Like... Honestly, okay, like, and even just like the way that you carry yourself was outstanding,
oh,
right?
Thank you.
I also heard as well that you almost weren't actually let in to the Emmy.
Oh yeah, that is a crazy story,
right?
Actually,
please tell me that story.
Yeah. So, I'm like always running for the gold in the ADD Olympics.
Yeah.
So, I'm like halfway there, and I'm like, because they won't let you in if you don't have a ticket. And so I have a ticket. So I was like,
I'm
good. I was like, I'm presenting a few awards tonight. I'm nominated. Like, it's all like,
surely.
We call and they're like, no, you can't get in. You have to turn around and get your ticket. Turn around, go get the ticket. We roll up. Red carpet is just crickets. Just no. And by the way, I mean, like, red carpet, you get, it's not like your clothes are yours. You borrow a dress, you do all the things.
Yeah.
And like, the reason I mean, that they do that is you get pictures taken.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
I called my stylist. He's like, he thought I was joking. It was just like a, it was just like a comedy of errors. We sit down. My wife's like got like all this glitter on her seat from the girl who was like the seat holder. It was just like she couldn't sit next to me. It was like, and she said even then, she was like, all this stuff was going wrong. I was like, I knew you were going to win. And yeah, I almost didn't make it. I almost didn't make it. But thank God I won because then I had pictures taken.
Yeah. Wait. That's the PRs. Okay. That's a big, because honestly, like I've had my fair share of not getting to parties, right? which is fine. Okay. But when I heard that story, I was like, that can't be true.
It's crazy. I did not believe they were going to be like, no, you won't get in.
Which is insane. But anyways.
Anyways.
We're here to actually talk about your new series, Atomic. Okay.
Yes.
Which we're really excited to hear about. I'm actually going to give the stage to Kiz right now. Okay, he's going to give us a synopsis of the series.
Over to you, Kiz. Atomic is a gripping 5-part action thriller that follows two unlikely heroes, Max, a free-spirited drug trafficker played by Alfie Allen, and JJ, a man on the run from a violent past played by Shahzad Latif. When they get swept up in a Venezuelan cartel's plot to smuggle uranium across North Africa, the stakes skyrocket with the potential to unleash a nuclear catastrophe.
And yeah, like I've just watched it. Okay.
You did.
I purposely did not watch the 5th episode. Okay.
Okay,
because I'm prone to spoilers. So I was gonna come on here and I got given a list of spoilers that I can't talk about, okay, and that kind of stuff. And even actually, thank you by the way, because you sent me a list of stuff here and in red he wrote, do not read this if you haven't seen the series.
Oh, like, really? Oh, that's pro tips right there.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So, but I want to talk about kind of like the scale of this show.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Sky Originals right now are kind of on like a run, I would say. All right.
Nice.
And being part of a show with a kind of unique cast here, you know? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I haven't seen them together, I think, ever. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did it feel kind of like, you know, being part of this project? Okay. And what kind of drew you to this role?
I've never played a role like this before.
Yeah.
Number one. I love being able to film abroad, being able to film the show in Morocco, which is just like pretty dope. But also, like, I really respect Alfie Allen and Shahzad Latif. I think that they, the one and two, you know, the leads of our show are absolutely amazing.
Let's say Cody's piece. Thank you. Carry on.
So, really the idea of just like, humanity and the goodness of humanity and who's a good guy, who's a bad guy. I think when we watch shows a lot, especially those kind of action shows, there's pretty much a set idea in our heads of like who we're rooting for and who's like I hope they don't win. And I feel like this show sort of challenges that idea of the audience from episode to episode. And what does it really mean to be good? What does it mean to be, you know, actions versus heart versus all of those things. And so I really love the tug and the push and pull during it. I love, you know, my character in terms of like what shy is she, you know, and also the joining of unlikely allies.
Yeah.
So all of those things. And also, I mean, like, she's pretty badass. Like,
she is. I was going to say,
you know,
shout out to Cassie. Okay. So you guys will obviously know this. Okay. But Samira plays Cassie, who is a CIA agent. Okay. And also a physicist. Right. Okay. And
yes. She's
She's a quantum physicist. Okay. Which I'm a
nerd alert.
Super nerd. I'm currently watching the Big Bang Theory, so I am all up in my physics stuff.
I'm
locked in. But I guess what kind of stood out to me, okay, with this, because I actually watched this with my sister. Sorry, okay, but she got the exclusive as well. But she is a diplomat, sister, and she was like to me, like, I think what she loved about it, okay, was like seeing like a black woman in an environment where she is the smartest in the room, right?
And that
a lot of the time in this series, you're trying to prove that you're the smartest in the room, you know? Mm-hmm. And so how was it, and compare that to, you know, to real life, if that's happened to me before. Yeah,
my real life, me being the smartest in the room. I don't know about that.
Or just a presence.
Mm, okay, I hear you. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean by that. To be honest.
So, like, on set, okay, did you have to kind of like draw from experience?
In terms of playing Cassie, right? Okay, I got you. Correct. Cassie's one of the only women in the show.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, just my own personal interpretation, I feel like wars and like bombs and like shooting guns is like mainly a male thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to have Cassie be a part of this world, I think that she does bring a perspective, a side of things that you can't get from a man.
Mm-hmm.
And there are women, I think, just women in general, always having to be in situations when they are the only woman in the room.
Yeah.
Where they have to navigate, like, do I play myself down? Am I quiet? You know? So I think that that's really just a thing a lot of times, just globally, where women have to navigate that world.
Yeah.
And so drawing on just my own experiences with my own mother, my sister, especially, you know, my career has been nothing but women in front of the camera. Of course, we know with Handmaid's Tale and Orange is the New Black, but behind the camera as well. That's incredible. always around a lot of very intelligent women, and I see the way they move when they're in rooms with, like, people assume that they are not as smart as they are. So I don't know, I just feel like I'm paying homage to all of those women.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's really incredible. And like, even like, I felt like you were also, even though you were the smartest in the room, okay, you were also the most trusting. Okay, there was a lot of characters in the film, okay, that you didn't blindly trust, but it was more like I'm trusting you because your position kind of tells me that I have to. Mm-hmm. You know, and then after that, obviously realizing that you know, it wasn't
the case.
You know,
that definitely is me. I'm always trusting people. For real, I'm just like, he seems like he has a good heart. for real, I'm always trying to see good in people. But you know, poor Cassie, she's running around with guns. It's a little more high stakes.
Yeah. And obviously you are joined by two incredible co-leads, okay? Mm-hmm. And you've all been part of like really unique and different shows and obviously films and stuff, okay? So linking up with those two?
We had a great time.
Oh, nice.
I mean, Shahzad and Alfie, I remember Shahzad had this insane villa when we were in Morocco, so we would just go over there, me and Alfie would go over there and drink some beers and
nice
TV and stuff. Yeah, it was like a little trio. I mean,
oh, that's cute.
It's so interesting because like not most of my scenes are with them in the beginning, but I think we really did a good job of like just trying to be the three amigos while we was there.
Yeah, and like I think like what I was like confused with at first, okay, was what sort of like relationship do Max and JJ, right? Have at the start, because he was like about to kill him, you know?
Oh yeah,
okay?
For sure.
So I was like, wait a minute, okay, you can't trust this guy.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on? And then obviously their stakes change throughout the show. Okay, you are almost kind of like the linchpin of those stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you kind of dictate their, you know, motivations, but then also you've got your own problems to kind of sort out, you know. So like, how was it kind of, you were almost like, we couldn't tell who was a good guy, you know, who was the bad guy, okay? You had to almost, not play dumb, but you had to almost kind of, you know, be like, trying to figure out who's who in this, you know?
Yeah.
So how was it kind of like feeding off the other actors, all right, in figuring out that, you know?
What's his name? Brian?
Yeah.
Brian? I can't think of his last name right now. Brian. He's got a famous daddy. he has a famous daddy.
He plays the scientist, right?
No, he plays... What's his daddy's name? Come on, y'all.
He plays Mark.
Yes, he does play Mark. We're going to find out who your daddy is soon, Brian.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's going to kill me not knowing who's daddy is right now. He's such an interesting guy too, because we have a whole history together.
Yeah,
My character and his character have gone up the ranks in the CIA together.
Mm-hmm.
So you see us as allied.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't know, man. It's just the I don't know what I'm gonna say. That's like a spoiler and what's not.
Say
you know what I mean?
Say it. It's absolutely fine.
You're funny.
Because I think this comes out the week of release, so we're okay. Fine, right? We're fine. Say it. Speak, Will.
Yeah, dang, I forgot the question. I ain't gonna lie.
Brian Gleason, by the way.
Brendan Gleeson. There we go.
Okay. The question was around feeding off each other.
Yeah, exactly. So most of my scenes are actually with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the entire show, I'm just like side-eyeing this dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From like step one. And that's like a really dangerous position to be in when you have someone who is that powerful.
Yeah.
Is there's a part of him that's like, thinks he's your senior, but you know, and has access to people who can literally end your life.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of trying to hide my cards as well.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, just
there were some really cool parts where you kind of like took charge. Like, you know, he was like, "Don't do that." Avenue goes like, "Bye," and just kind of, you know, and
yeah,
own thing.
Yeah. To live that kind of life. The kind of agent that Cassie is. She's a NOC, which I don't remember what NOC stands for right now. But it's basically there are different kinds of agents. Mm-hmm. There are agents where you basically it's the highest form of spy. It's the highest form of being in the CIA, meaning that you go.
It's a non-official cover operative.
Non-official cover. So when you have official cover, that means that you have your government who will come in and save you if anything happens, yeah. Right? The kind of agent that Cassie is, she's completely given up her identity, her right to diplomatic immunity, her any protection of the government at all. She has completely changed her name, her profession, any ties to family, anything like that.
That's incredible.
And I mean, it's really crazy. It's really crazy to have that kind of life. You imagine what kind of trauma she had. You know what I mean? But
how much she getting paid? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because surely at that point, okay, there should be some sort of good conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of research on it, and there's like some people in the CIA who are saying that like they have friends who they know are Knox, but they still don't, or they suspect, they still don't know their real names. They still don't know where they came from. They still, it's like 100% you just forget yourself. You erase yourself. And that type of person, it is. It really is mad. But that type of person is made out of steel.
And then, like, I guess staying on that as well, okay, like, did you guys, you know, get to speak to people in the military, the CIA people, like, you know, anyone to kind of, like, draw from those experiences?
Nah, that wouldn't have been cool, though.
That would have been awesome. But even, like, handling, you know, a gun. Do you know what I mean? Okay.
Oh, no way. We did. Actually, we did have training.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I had a lot. I was shooting in the desert a lot.
So that was in Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay.
We were like, cool. I mean, we were like way out in the like desert, just like shooting out in the void. It was fun.
I actually had a situation a couple years ago. Not, well, this sounds crazy. I don't think it's even YouTube friendly. I think no, but yeah. But I shot and the canister came out and it went on my neck.
Oh no!
And then I panicked. And did this because it was hot, right? So I was like, and then it I had a scar here for like 10 years, but it's gone now.
I was like, how'd it go away? I tell you, you had some cream.
Aloe vera every damn day.
Yeah, I knew it. Aloe vera. I knew you were rubbing something on there.
So, but it was literally like a perfect like shell shape.
Yo.
Like there. And I had it from when I was like 12 till like 22, 20.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Also, don't be shooting at 12, guys. I mean, that's probably but wow, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's so heavy in the recoil.
Yeah, I was trying to be bad. I was like doing the side thing, you know what I mean? Because obviously that's why it blew off that way.
Yeah, understood.
And then
it all makes sense now.
Yeah. I blame the people around me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I blame you, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm. Okay, cool. Then on Atomic, okay.
No, you just were 12, I can't blame you.
Huh?
You was 12, I can't blame you. You were 12.
Yeah, see? Thanks, Dad. All right, and then...
He's like, moving on.
On Atomic, okay, what is... I'm going to ask you two key questions here. Okay?
All right.
The first one, right? Three words to describe the show.
This is so cliche. I feel like the words... Not the question.
No,
words I'm going to use.
Yeah.
It's... I mean, I've seen it, and it looks way official, bro. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. I saw it and I was like, yo, this is like an action movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's very epic. Mm-hmm. It's existential.
Yep.
And it's... British?
It's barely British. It's not like everyone,
I know,
isn't it?
I know,
it's
but the, I mean, Sky, you know what I mean? Okay, I'll take know, my bad. I don't know, the writer was on holiday a lot, so that seemed British.
Okay, and then the second question, okay, to wrap up this segment, before we get into our fun segment, okay, mm-hmm. is if you were to tell people, you know, to watch the show, right, and kind of give them like a one or two liner as to why they should watch it, what would you say?
I think I'm just going to piggyback to a lot of things I've been saying before, just in terms of like when we think about people and humanity, I think especially right now, I think there are a lot of people, especially in my country, there are a lot of people who aren't listening to each other.
Yeah.
Not having conversations because they're letting their differences get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the theme here in this show.
Yeah.
So, and just thinking about it in that way and the way it relates to the world that we're living in, that's just the, like, I'm here not for the whole story.
Yeah.
Me, as an actor, personally, I'm sure everybody has a different thing, but I'm here to humanize my character. So, in thinking about it in that way, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
That's incredible. Okay. And can I get a double check on when the series is out? 20th August, okay. So yeah, that is Atomic out on the 28th of August, okay, featuring Samira Wiley, Alfie Allen, and Shahzad. How do you say his last
name? Shahzad Latif.
Latif, okay. It's going to be incredible. Guys, please lock in, all right? It's going to be absolutely outstanding. And then now, we're going to go on to my favorite part of the show, okay? This is where we test your film and TV knowledge. Could you tell me, because now I'm interested, okay, your Mount Rushmore, which I think is 4, right?
Yeah.
Your Mount Rushmore of TV series is?
What does that mean?
Oh, it's your... Go on.
So essentially, the top 4 TV shows that you would you'd watch, but
as in, like, your top 4 of all time,
South Park,
incredible,
Drunk History,
okay,
know Drunk History,
of course I do. that is mad. There's actually a UK version, right?
Boondocks, and
great shout,
top tier,
Watchmen,
oh,
watch out.
She watches TV.
Yes, you do watch TV. You do watch TV.
You do watch TV. Those are four good.
I mean, literally the first 3 were from like back in the day. So started in the 90s. And Watchmen is honestly, they did it right because, by the way, Watchmen is probably the only show I've watched since Lost. But Lost ruined TV for me, man.
Fair really? Enough.
You can't. How you going to do that?
Is that not fair enough?
I watched Mass Seasons and I think for you ended like that.
Yeah. No, it ended in a very
injustice. Like you pooped on me. You pooped on all of us.
You know what? You've done well not watching Game of Thrones. To
like,
be fair.
Really?
Yeah, you've actually done well.
Because the end, they kind of done the same thing.
Watchmen, they said we got a story to tell. One season, we done. We not about to try to cater to nobody. That was their story.
And you've seen the film, right?
Watchmen. No.
It's based off the film.
I never seen it. I didn't know it was a film.
Yeah. The film was very deep.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, 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 very deep. But
Before its time.
Yeah. And then your Mount Rushmore of films. So 4 films.
Oh my gosh.
It's a tough one.
It's going to be bad because I ain't seen many. Titanic.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just going to name some. I've seen Lion King, the first one. Aladdin, the first one.
Elite list.
What's another movie I see? Sinners. I just seen that.
This is a good film.
There we go.
Very good film.
There we go.
All right, guys.
I like how like so many of mine were just animated.
That's bad. They're all good films.
We have a lot of anime fans and animated fans.
That's crazy. Cartoons, let's just say they're cartoons.
Cartoons, yeah. Well, to be fair, they actually get really mad at that.
Yeah, when we say that, it doesn't go down.
Oh, see, I didn't say that first. Yeah. Did I? No. And right terminology and respect.
Well, guys, this has been the Post Credit Scene Podcast. Okay, we've been so happy to have you. Okay, and hopefully the next time you're down or you've got anything going on, the rest of the team will be here. Okay, so you can meet them. But it doesn't matter because you had a great experience with me anyway.
Absolutely.
But it's been lovely to have you. Okay, this is the Post Credit Scene Podcast and we're over and out. Actually, before we lock off, okay, could you look down this
down the barrel
over here, okay, and could you say, okay, say your name, all right? Mm-hmm. I am Samira Wiley, and you are watching and listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Samira Wiley, and right now you are watching and listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.
Woo! Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
That is incredible. All right.
All right.
Hi, I'm LaShana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.